Alt Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a pom, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
Hello, it's episode 25 of Alt Down Under. Me, Luke Scanlon. How is it going, everyone? Episode 25, would you believe it? Man, it's actually nuts to think that we've been going for 25 episodes now. I just want to say thank you very much to anyone that has listened to any of these episodes, let alone all 25. If you have done all 25, I apologize for my shite dad jokes, bizarre questioning at times, and generic all-round scatty presenting. But thanks ever so much for sticking by and sticking with us as a podcast. Actually, pretty nuts to think about coming over to Australia, starting a podcast, and yeah, just getting to interview some amazing bands. Dice, The Grogans, Foles, Declan McKenna, Masego, like some huge international names, some brilliant Aussie artists as well. And this being episode 25, we have another brilliant artist for you. This is a band that is just so much fun, man, and real great guys as well. So coming up in a little bit, you'll hear my chat with Play Lunch.
Court, Warrandyte, a beautiful secluded part of paradise. I'm Steve from Barber Ridge Real Estate. I'm a massive cunt. Let's take a look inside.
I caught up with three of the seven piece that is Play Lunch, just off the back of the release of their second album, Sex Ed, which landed on the 22nd of August. I think a lot of the time we have bands that we might love their music, but we're not necessarily that in tune with their personality or the way that they go about things, or even maybe the topics that they cover, because a lot of the time we get the generic stuff. We get the breakup songs, the love songs. And yeah, sometimes it's quite nice to hear songs about the cost of living, shit rental prices, your fucking lunatic next door neighbour. And this is what Play Lunch do. So chatting to me on this episode will be Ozzy, Michael and Liam from the band. Three of the seven. It was great, actually. I managed to interview three people. Seven would have been a bit of a stretch, I reckon. But it was a great chat. We get into a brilliant chat about how the boys came into being. How, at the very start, some of the members were in a folk trio. We'll find out what went on there. We'll, of course, go through the new album as well. And what was the inspiration behind a new album? Because the sound that these boys have, I mentioned it in the interview, it kind of spans funk, punk, disco, elements of Rage Against the Machine in there. It's a real enchanting mishmash of songs. And yeah, it's a brand that they've come up with themselves, Bogan Funk. So how the fuck you go from a folk trio into a seven-piece Bogan Funk outfit is amazing. It's a miracle in of itself. So we'll get into that chat. We'll also go through some of those themes that I mentioned, the cost of living and such like, and the real Australian-ness, Aussie culture that's kind of perforates all of their songs. And I find out who the fuck Harold the Giraffe is. Not a clue. This dumb Brit over in Melbourne didn't have a clue who Harold the Giraffe was. And of course, the boys will build their dream gig venue. It's all things sausage sizzle in this episode. So quite a bit to look forward to.
Alternative Down Under.
All right. As I said, episode 25. Geez, what an absolute whirlwind. Started out in, I had to look back, it was November 2023 I started things up with an interview with Lenny, the drummer from Dice. And yeah, I would like to think I am sad enough to go through and count how many emails I've had to send, emails I've received with PR, record labels, artists themselves, to get these interviews organized. But I absolutely love doing it. It's such a passion project, and I hope I've brought some new music to you, or at least I hope you've discovered a new side to these artists that I've interviewed, if you knew them already. And yeah, what a journey it's been. Now, what about record of the year? okay? We're September 2025 already. What the hell is going on? But with Wolf Alice's new album, have we potentially found it? I'm a huge fan. The guys have changed it up a little bit. Ellie, lead singer, she's on a whole new level right now. Just, I think the confidence is oozing out of her. She's previously said in interviews that she's actually quite reserved and a bit of an introvert, but on stage, you can just tell she's got this new presence. Her Glastow set back in June, all over it. She's popping up doing live performances. They're on American TV recently. And I feel like it's a new area of expressive music that they're coming out with. Two Girls off the new record, which is called The Clearing, is the standout tune, I think. I mean, Bloom Baby Bloom was, of course, the flagship song of the new record, the debut single to come off of that one, the first single to come off of the new record. But, oh, I mean, I just think they're going to go up and up and up. And Glastow, as I just mentioned then, next year is a year off, a fallow year at the farm. But will they be headliners for the 2027 edition? I think they might be. The album just went to number one in UK. Watch this space. I think some fans might have potentially wanted a bit more of the punkier side of Wolf Alice to be on the new record. We get it in little bursts, but not as heavy as previous records. Track like Smile, Yuck Foo that we've had in the past, and Giant Peach off the debut album. But I think it's great. I think it's kind of a bit of Kate Bush in there, a bit of Fleetwood Mac, and just more of a classic rock sound, I think, on this one. And I think Ellie's really given herself the artistic license to go out there and just create a record that's a little bit away from what they've typically done. And I, for one, am a big fan.
Alternative Down Under.
Okay, let's get into the interview then for episode 25 of Alt Down Under. My chat with the superb Play Lunch. I am with Ozzy, Liam, Michael, three of seven of Play Lunch. How are we, boys?
Good.
By the way, that was amazing. You all nodded in unison. I feel like I'm talking to the nucleus of the band.
we're all just one hive mind together. As we nodded then, the other four boys back in Melbourne also nodded uncontrollably.
Yeah, it's like a voodoo doll situation. I love that. Nice. Yeah. Well, that kind of brings me to where I did want to kick things off, because it's not often, I think this is maybe off the top of my head, I'm bad at remembering, I think this is episode 25 of Alt Down Under. I haven't spoken to a seven piece yet. So how did that come into being? What happened? Do you fall out? Or is it all love? Tell me the story.
All love.
Yeah, definitely.
All love. I think like me, Michael, and our bass player had like another project before this one where it was just the three of us. And you'd certainly notice like a big difference in the dynamic. I actually think having seven people in a band is great, because you do still get the shits with one another, but you can sort of do this thing where as soon as one person is like really annoying you, you can move on to the next one. And you've got like a whole like Rolodex of six people, you know, and then by the time you finish, you're back into the first one again, you know?
It means, yeah, our touring's always been in like a big 12-seater van rather than a small car together. So, you know, you've got space to move around, and so you can literally switch seats when someone's pissing you off or go into the gear and be on your own.
Fair. That's a right fuck around calling shotgun, though, with six others to go against you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's us shorter members, you know, we're often relegated to the back seats.
I was going to say, can you stand in a line just height order to figure out who sits where?
Basically, it's Michael and I as the tiny little guys, and then the rest duke it out.
Yeah, nice. And what about birthdays? Do you ever forget any birthdays? Because that'd be straight out of my head.
I know like what month each person's birthday is in, but the specific day.
No chance. I love it. You're like, I'm more of a star sign guy myself. Well, within a few minutes of chatting to you is basically how I thought this conversation would go, which is a good thing. Don't worry. And it's something I really wanted to chat to you about, because, yeah, I've listened to you guys for a little while now. And then, bizarrely enough, the email came through about opportunity to chat to you, which is wicked. And one thing that is always, and I think a lot of people are drawn to you because of this. I hate the word ethos, and it doesn't sit well with me using that word with you guys as a band, but the ethos of your band, I think it's like just a level of silliness and fun, but you do it in such a good way because you attack, bizarrely, really boring subjects like rent, cost of living. but you it's kind of sink or swim, smile or cry, and you choose to smile, which I love. So it, does that come from your guys' friendship as a band?
Yeah, definitely. Me, Liam and Dylan, we were saying before, were like, we've been playing music together since like high school. We kind of had this folk, kind of indie singer-songwriter folk trio. It was like very, very sincere, very serious. And it was always kind of weird. We were always three very silly boys playing very serious music. Mm-hmm. And so I think Play Lunch, when it came to be, is kind of like the music that suited who we have been as people the whole time.
Yeah.
It's okay. Kind of very, as well as like, you know, everyone else in the band. We're all just kind of, yeah, we're the right people for it, I think.
Yeah, I'd love to see the press shots of your real dark, serious folk days. I'm imagining like thick, chunky knit roll neck jumpers.
You're not far off.
Not far off. Even man. Yeah.
Staring off into the distance.
Yeah. No, but they were beautiful. They were beautiful boys. They can do it all.
Mums loved it.
Oh, yeah, all day ever.
Oh yeah.
Liam, you sat there with your arms crossed, going, "Mums loved it."
You're a mum maxing.
Absolutely. So that's quite cool to hear then that you did. I suppose any band artist has that initial thing where they're like, right, okay, what the hell am I actually doing? What artist do I want to be? What kind of music do I want to create? So it must have been wicked when you did arrive at that point and you were like, let's go for it. Because I think it makes you stand apart from a lot of bands out there in the moment.
Yeah, totally. It was like sometimes, you know, you sort of, you open yourself up to the gods of creativity and you sort of take whatever they give you. And sometimes something just, you know, and like a lot of these songs even, you know, just like land in your lap and you're just like, oh, that's like really special. You know, like I think this whole project has been, you know, just a real gift.
Absolutely. Yeah. Obviously we'll chat about the second album in depth, Sex Ed, huge fan of it. But again, going back to when I first came across you guys and the sound, it is really, again, tying back to the fun thing. And I don't know if you've done this on purpose, but I quite like to think that you guys have gone, let's not let anyone guess what kind of genre we are. Let's just borrow from different pockets. Because I hear funk in there. I hear pop punk, punk, rock. What track was it? I actually made a note here. Listening to, Station Rap. Whenever I listen to that, I'm like, it's like a chilled out Rage Against Machine. I don't know what's going on. There's hip hop elements. So tell us about that, how you kind of actually put pen to paper, because obviously you could have a big chaotic splurge of thoughts, but how you actually create a track is really, that intrigues me.
Yeah. I mean, in the beginning, we knew that whatever we wanted to do, funk was very much going to be at the heart of that. And then we sort of started doing that, sort of translated into like disco as well, quite naturally. But obviously we didn't really know what to call it because we're doing something sort of so individual in like a lyrical sense and in terms of our costuming and stuff that just calling us a funk or disco band would kind of be just like misleading. And so this whole like bogan funk thing as like a genre, you know, sort of came about as a way to sort of describe what we were trying to do, you know, like a bunch of guys who are wanting to sound like Earth, Wind and Fire, but grew up playing cold in pubs. So, you know, it couldn't quite pull it off. And the genre switching, especially on this latest record, has sort of come out of that because, you know, bogan funk is kind of, we made it up so it can be whatever we want it to mean, you know, and we could just, you know, not let any genre be like a constraint to us.
They must be amazing live because I can imagine everyone just completely dials in and it's a completely different experience when you're playing to a crowd.
Yeah, it's the best. It's what it's all about. Like, I love the, as a player, like the genre switching is fantastic because it's just like I get to be so many different types of drummer in one night. Like I'm not different drummer. I can do a hip hop thing. I can do a fucking Chili Peppers thing of, you know, like all of it. And that's so sick. And then just seeing like what it does is it brings different pockets of people, you know, you can see people that are like attracted to that rock and sort of you know, punkish element to it. And then, you know, people that are more into the poppier, dancier sort of vibe. And but it just creates this whole like positive energy in the crowd.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, that's a good point, actually. I don't think I could even begin to picture a generic Play Lunch fan, like what they would look like.
Yeah. It's funny. It's probably just like, it's all about color. It's like pops of color, bright clothes. And that's what we want. We encourage that from the very start with what we wear, you know?
Yeah. And so great. Cause it's like, you know, initially probably we thought we were making music for people, you know, primarily our own age and that sort of like early to mid 20s sort of bracket. But it's been so great to sort of see that it's like we definitely do hit that, and that probably still is our primary market. But it also, it's just like, it's cast so far and wide. Like, we'll have like a lot of like just like boomers rock up to our shows that like have seen something like Keith online, or like we had like a Kath and Kim song on our first record that like would. So many people, you know, and so it's like, it's this really unique experience of like, you would never see this huge collection of all these different sorts of faces at a gig together. But again, I guess that Australiana sort of like grounds it in this sort of shared experience.
Yeah,
that's one thing I love about you guys. Again, going back to like silliness, but I think it's just so like overtly Aussie, like proper Aussie. And that's what, especially isn't it as a Brit looking in, do you know what I mean? I love it. It's great. And it just plays on those little things. I did have to Google what the fuck Harold the Giraffe was though.
We've gone too niche.
I was like, what the hell is this? And then, so what was it? A van for drug education that used to come to your school?
Yes. It was a common experience that like a lot of other kids go through. And this, you know, this when you go in the van and there's a the giraffe on a puppet, and it's like, you know, just say no. And, you know, tries to, you know, and you kind of like look back on it. It's like, why do we have to go into a van for that? That seems like a bit like counterintuitive, you know? But we like, I like, it's fun for us being like, people will hear the songs, and if you get it, it's great. And then I just love the idea of what must this song sound like to someone who has no idea what the fuck we're talking about.
Exactly. It
just
sounds like the most
disturbing thing ever. And then you go Google it, and it's like a fun little journey.
I find most importantly, we never touched drugs since.
Oh no, it worked a treat, man.
Yeah. Yes, sure.
Yeah,
Harold did his job.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it's interesting you say about the cross-generational thing, because like even a track like Real Estate Apps, everyone's always had issues with rent, haven't they? And I have to say, guys, the lyrics on that, like even in the opening, I wrote it down because I can't remember off the top of my head, but black mold inside my lungs so I can say for a loan, it's just the price that you pay to call Australia home. Unreal. So good. And we've all been in that situation. I've only been here for 2 years and I've experienced that.
I reckon like probably 5 out of like the 7 houses I've lived in the last few years have had black mold somewhere. And you can't do one to yourself. You're like, well, it's definitely not good for me. So what's this rash about?
Exactly. Mate, I thought I was living in like the real life version, like the live action version of Ratatouille. I genuinely caught a mouse the other day. I was pretty impressed with myself. I managed to trap it in a box. But he was like, he's amazing at parkour. He was like, he jumped up into the sink. It was unbelievable. I was like, how's he managing this?
It's proper like 17th century French village stuff. Like,
yeah. Do you know what's really weird though? It gave me too much of an ego boost. And I met up with my mate later on that day, and he was like, mate, you're talking like you've caught like a wild cat. Like you've caught a mouse. You're not that much of a macho man. Like, do you want to dial it down a little bit?
Just like a fishing profile picture.
Absolutely. One thing I did want to ask, the story of Keith. First of all, I presume it is actually true.
Presume away.
I quite like the idea of Keith becoming like a term like a Karen, just for everyone. Was that the thinking behind the track?
It was something that emerged in the process where, because when we wrote the song, it was just kind of like, oh, yeah, let's tell this funny story. But then it sort of became clear. It was like, oh, everyone has a story like this. Like every suburban street has some psycho on there, you know. And so I think, and then gradually the sort of like that Karen sort of comparison started coming out. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is great. Like, let's lean into this.
It's great. And the video, getting Barry Hall on, unbelievable. I don't know if I've seen someone like more so than him, born for a role. How the hell did that come about? Because he obviously just like was fully locked into that.
He's literally our manager, because we had the song, we'd sort of played it live a few times, and we could just see from the way like the audience reacted to it every time. They're like, oh, this is really special. And we'd always been really excited for when we could like release it and when we could have a music video for it. So when it came time to do that, we're like, who could be Keith? Now we had sort of a few ideas, and our manager was literally like, what if you just got like Barry Hall? And we're like, oh yeah, that'd be crazy. So we were kind of talking to a few people, and like a couple of things fell through, and we weren't sure what we were going to do. And our manager, literally just using our band email, just emailed him. And then he got back to us. He's like, yeah, sure. Sounds good.
Unreal. It's so good. I love
it. We sent him the song. It's like, yeah, sounds great. We're like, you would be this angry neighbor in the song. That would be the role you'd play. And he was just so down for it. So he lives in the Gold Coast. We flew him down to Melbourne, dressed him up as Keith. And then
the rest is history.
The rest is history.
And then the Oscars were won. That's incredible. One thing I did have to ask is the bald caps that you wore in the video, how hot were they? Because it looked like they would just trap every slight bit of heat straight onto your head.
You take them off after, like, because, you know, those like scenes of like us playing like the song, like lip syncing and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, a hot day, and you'd sort of roll them off, and you have this like line left on the top of your head like this, where this shower cap is. And they're marketed as bald caps, but then you get them and you're like, these are just Caucasian skin colored swimming caps.
Honestly, it wasn't much but the tension, it just like would squish you.
Just waiting for a headache. Yeah, I'd quite like the experiment. Just turn off the audio on that video and then just play Pitbull over the top and see if it works as a weird Pitbull video.
Dally.
little niche for you there. Who knows?
Not that.
Oh dear. So what is the feedback? Obviously the album's only just come out 4 days ago, as of recording today, but what is the feedback been so far, and how have you guys found it since it being out there in the big bad world?
It's been a dream come true. Like we sort of really loved watching the first record get this sort of cult following that it's sort of had, and it's like been amazing the last 18 months that we've been touring around, sort of like going to these like little country towns, or like going to a place like Perth that we've never been before and seeing like, oh my god, people know the lyrics to these songs. And sort of watching crowds get bigger just from this like slow momentum that the first record had. Like we got in like the ARIA charts this April for that record, and the record came out like in November 2023, you know. So it's been like a really experience in the scheme of the music industry. And so like we've been aware that following that up is, you know, sort of quite a task, and the bands do have this like second album syndrome, you know, like can they follow it up? Really got around it. And but no, it's been so good. Even these like last 4 days, it's so clear that people are like, you know, we've really set out to make something super ambitious and to sort of take everything people liked about the first record and just like, you know, dial it up to 11, you know. And it's just great watching people like we played a gig the day after the record came out, like a little record store thing. And there were people like knew the words to songs, you know, like it was insane, like the dedication from.
That must be like the greatest feeling, having people sing the words back to tracks, like brand new tracks as well. And that's so interesting you say about getting the kind of the latter recognition for a record. So, I mean, as you say, this album's just come out. So hopefully as time goes on, it's just going to grow and grow and grow. It's going to be unreal. I think big things ahead, guys.
I hope so. Hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You'll be millionaires. You'll be millionaires. Pitbull will be in the next video. That's it. Oh dear. Well, if you're ready, guys, we'll pop down and build your dream gig venue.
I'll have 2 pints, please. Fuck, I love this bed. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy. Yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The dream gig venue. Step this way.
I'm with Liam and Michael. Ozzy's gone to go get the pizza. Dream gig venue. Let's do it. Name of the venue. What are you going for?
I'm thinking, what if we go for like a canteen or the tuck shop or something, like very play lunch community.
Or
lunchbox.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Really like the pit, you know?
Yeah, they're playing at the pit.
And you're instantly just like, oh, it's gonna be a lit
game. Okay, let's go with the pit. I like the pit.
The pit. All right. What's the capacity at the pit?
I think under 1,000, but more than 300.
Yeah, maybe like just like a 450, 500 gap. It's like a very
that's perfect.
A very beautiful size.
You wanted to get sweaty in there.
Get right up in it. Okay, what is the dress code? I think you guys are gonna have a great answer for this.
Fully nude.
You reckon?
No. I think it could be like fluoro only.
I like that.
Yeah.
We wear a lot of like zinc on our noses when we play live. You know, it's great because like it captures the lights and everything. It looks awesome on stage. So I'll see 450 people just like, you know, covered in like fluoro and it gives the opportunity for zinc and
or just like color in general.
Just color. Yeah. That's a proper Aussie thing as well. Zinc. I've never worn it, but one thing I've heard it's like an absolute bitch to get off your face.
We've learned. Yeah. You want a big stack of toilet paper, preferably like one ply, and you just want to bunch it up so it's really rough and you just grate it like sandpaper.
Oh,
he's back. He's so back.
Here comes the pizza.
Just to bring up the music venue is called
The Pit.
Yeah.
It's 500 cap.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And
yeah.
The dress code is
perfect.
Color.
Yeah.
Like color. Or color.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm seeing like.
That leads us on nicely. The pizzas have arrived. Free food, free drink. What are you going to go for, guys?
Ooh.
Sorry. What was. Oh, yeah. Drink.
Melbourne Bitter.
Melbourne,
that's all you can drink.
Yeah.
That's
love that.
You can drink.
Yeah.
Is
one flat food, maybe like
sausage sizzle.
Oh yeah.
He's done
it. It happens in the corner, so the entire room smells like haze from the lights, sweat from the crowd, and just onions caramelizing away in sausage grease.
There's nothing more enticing, to be fair. This is going to be a great gig, man. You're like, affirmative. Okay, up next, support act, dead or alive. You're headlining. Who would you like?
Stones supporting us.
No.
I reckon like early era Talking Heads, like when they were playing CBGBs and no one really knew who they were and they're at their most raw.
Yeah.
That would be.
Mate, I love going back and watching live videos. Some of the moves on show are just incredible. So good. But then I don't know if I'm getting older. I'm just like, my knees are fucked. I can't do that.
Yeah. It's weird, but in the right kind of way. It's like he just finds a way to kind of move in this really
compelling.
Compelling sort of way. It's so, we've been really into Talking Heads lately.
Yeah. We all went to see Stop Making Sense
at
the Astor and St Kilda.
Unreal.
It's like, not stop.
Yeah.
I bet it's great. I think actually thinking about it is dancing is a bit like, you know, like when at car show, like sale places, and they'll have like the blow up man that does all that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's great. Cool.
A bit like that. There you go. Okay. And finally, at the pit, who would you like running the front door security? This could be someone famous, could be your mate, your nan.
Barry Hall.
As
key. Yeah.
Well, boys, thanks ever so much for your time. Love the new album. And I'll come hopefully see you in Melbourne.
Yes, dude, thanks so much.
Alternative Down Under.
Absolute gems, those boys. That was Play Lunch, Aussie, Michael, Liam from the band. And as we discussed in that interview, their new album, Sex Ed, is now out. And imagine like getting together with a band. Getting together with your mates, forming a band, and out of nowhere you've got an AFL Hall of Famer popping up in your video and him actually being like properly keen for it and giving it all as well. Like, he gives it some. Good on you, Barry Hall.
Alternative Down Under.
It's going to be a short wrap up today. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with a brand new episode here on Alt Down Under. So yeah, all the love for sticking around for 25 episodes. And apologies for the slight delay of some release of episodes. The recent delay is because I was concussed, passed out, not a load of fun, came off a bike. And
got there in the end. But hey, I am fighting fit once again, and we'll be back in the 2-week cycle of episodes. So yeah, stick around. Back with you real soon.